Good morning, everybody. Or should I say hello, everybody? It's already afternoon. Do you still remember? It's me again, Mr. FFF. Do you remember what the initials stand for? Very good, yes. I used to be your friendly Filipino farmer, but I've recently changed jobs. So today, I'm your friendly Filipino foreman. Now, do you know what a foreman does? What is his work? Okay, well, as a foreman, I work in a construction company and I have workers who are under me. I supervise them, I direct them. So I tell some workers, hey you, amigo, which means friend. Friend, can you please move these bricks from there over to this corner? Sometimes I say, bro, buy me 2 cups of coffee. And occasionally, I get to do something that I really enjoy, which is to ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. And that means? Yes, very good. Lunchtime, it's break time. Everybody gets to rest for about an hour while they take lunch. And you know what? Once a month, on the 15th day and on the 30th day, I do something very, very exciting. Exciting for them. The boss gets me to pay their salaries, their pay. So, all my workers will fall in one line, queue up, and receive their pay from me. But did you know what? Not all of them get paid the same amount. That is why, if you can see on my envelopes, this one is for Roberto. This other one is for Pedro. And the last one is for Rico. Now, Roberto is somebody who can really do the job. He does his job very well. But Rico is a little bit slack. He rarely gets the job done. That's why Rico gets only paid 3/4 as much as Roberto does. So this sounds like a math problem, right? But I have the solution for you. Can you show it on the screen? For the adults to understand that better, let X be Roberto's pay, and Rico's pay is 3/4 X, right? But I understand that the children learn a different kind of math. So I have the solution for the children as well. Okay? So this is how much Roberto was being paid, and Rico only 3/4 of the payment that Roberto receives. And so, when I give them their pay one by one, I make sure they come to me one by one. Okay, I give one his pay and I ask him to leave immediately before I give the next person his pay. You know why I do that? I make sure that after they receive their pay, they leave. Otherwise, they will all gather together and compare their salary. And you know what happens when they compare? They will start complaining. Right? Rico will say, how come I only get 3/4 of what Roberto gets? You know what? Jesus once told a story about a foreman, about a group of workers, and about a vineyard owner. This story is quite bizarre. It sounds very strange. Let me tell you why it is a strange story. You see, in this story, there was a man who owned a vineyard. And you know what's a vineyard? It's a vineyard. It's a plantation of grapevines to produce grapes, which reminds me that my wife just prepared grapes for my snack later. Okay, so if you want some grapes, come to me and I'll probably share them with you. There was a man who owned a vineyard, and very early in the morning, maybe 6:30, around 6:30 in the morning, he went out to the marketplace to look for workers who would be willing to work in his vineyard. So he found a few workers and he says, work in my vineyard and I will pay you 1 silver coin, which is equivalent to about a Roman denarius. He found some and they went to work for him. Then later on, at around 9:00 in the morning, he went out again to the marketplace and he saw some man slacking away, doing nothing. And so he says, why don't you come and work for me and I will pay you what is right. So the man went and worked for him. And still, at about 12:00,
Okay, we move the clock. Okay, now, about 12 o'clock, this man went to the marketplace again, and he saw some men, and he told them, come and work for me, and they went with him and worked in his vineyard. He did the same thing at about 3 o'clock. Went to the marketplace again, called some men, why are you doing nothing? He says, nobody gave us a job to do, so work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right. And about 5 o'clock, 1 hour before the end of the workday, he went out, and he saw some men not doing anything who didn't have jobs, and he says, come and work for me. And when the clock struck 6 o'clock in the evening, the owner called the foreman and he instructed him. And he said, give them all their pay. But start paying those who came in last. Those who started work at 5 in the afternoon. And then move on until you reach those who started working at 6:30 in the morning. Now, I was thinking, this is really a math problem, right? I mean, if one gets paid one silver coin, okay, from working from 6:30 a.m. up to 5 in the afternoon, how much will the ones who started work at 5 p.m. ending at 6 p.m. receive? I don't have a solution for that. Whew, good thing I wasn't that foreman. I didn't have to solve that problem. But Jesus continued to tell the story, and he tells us that when those who worked from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock came to get their pay, guess how much they received? They got one silver coin, one Roman denarius. And you know how they feel? How they felt? They were jumping for joy. They were over the moon. Probably they thought to themselves, there must be a big mistake here. We better leave before the mistake is discovered. And guess what? What those who started work at 6:30 in the a.m. felt when they saw that those who came in at 5 p.m. got one silver coin. Guess how they felt? I'd like to think they were probably thrilled. Because in their minds, they were counting who? One silver coin for every hour of work. So when we receive our salaries, it'll be what? It'll be probably more than 10 silver coins. That's about a week's pay. But then as those who started work at 3 p.m., 12 noon, 9 a.m. came to receive their pay, they all received equally one silver coin. And so finally, when those who started work at 6:30 a.m. came to receive their pay, their faces really turned red. The Bible tells us that they complained. I think it's a mild way of putting it. They probably used some foul language, right? And they even threatened the vineyard owner because they told the vineyard owner, these men, the ones who came last, these men worked for only 1 hour. 1 hour! And they were shaking. But you paid them the same as you paid us. Us who have worked hard all day under the hot sun. And you know how the owner replied? The vineyard owner replied and said, friend, amigo, I am doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree to work for me for one silver coin? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the man who was hired last the same pay as I gave you. I can do whatever I want with my own money, right? Or are you jealous because I am good to those people? You know, when I read this story, I said to myself, but the poor guys, they seem to have a point, right, in complaining, right? I mean, how would you feel if the lazy people in your workplace, the lazy classmates you have in your school, they get higher marks than you? How would you feel if the slack in your work gets paid more than you? How would you feel, for example, if you are all on board the plane, waiting 30 minutes because of a group of late passengers, and they all get upgraded to the first class? How would you feel? How would you feel if the one who signed up last for the ARPC camp gets upgraded to the presidential suite?
How would you feel? How would you feel if you paid premium tickets, very expensive tickets, front seats to a concert, and in the middle of the concert singer gets so excited and says, "Those of you at the back section, come join us in front." And they all move to the front section. How would you feel? You probably won't enjoy the concert anymore. How would you feel if you were in a queue and the last person in the line gets served because a new counter was open? I know how it feels. I used to work at McDonald's when I was in college. And in McDonald's, we are committed to serving the first customer in line within 30 seconds. The second customer in line within 60 seconds. And the third customer in line, 90 seconds. That was during my time. Now they're slower. And I've experienced opening a new counter lane and asking the third person in line to come and be served. And guess what? The second person in line gets very, very angry. You know why? Because he's been cheated by 30 seconds. How would we all feel? We would feel cheated. We would say, unfair. That is why the story that Jesus told us, it really sounds strange, right? It's bizarre. Until we understand why Jesus told the story. You see, there was a young man who came to Jesus thinking that by doing a little good work here and a little good work there, he will earn life forever, life eternal. Thinking that by doing a little good thing here and a little good thing there, he will gain treasure in heaven. So he goes to Jesus and he says, "Is there anything else I can do to gain life eternal?" And Jesus replied the man and said, "Oh, if you think you can pull it off yourself, there's one last thing. Sell everything you have and come follow me." What did Jesus say? Jesus says, "Sell everything you have and come follow me." So the Bible tells us the man's face fell. And he walked away sad because he was not willing to give up his wealth. Now the disciples were there and they saw what happened and they were thinking to them, what just happened here? And Jesus went to them and said, "I tell you the truth, it will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, I tell you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." So look at the slide. There's a picture of a camel and a needle. As you can see, it is not drawn proportionately, right? But even if the needle is so big, I don't think it's easy for the camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle. I have here a needle. Can you see this? Oops. Let me make sure I don't prick myself. Here's a needle. Can you see the eye? Of course you can't see the eye. I couldn't see the eye myself. Is it possible for a camel to go through the eye of this needle? I don't think so. It's impossible. But that's the point. The disciple says, responded, and they said, "It is impossible." That's right. It's impossible. Jesus, however, said, "What man cannot do, what he cannot pull off himself, God can." And what he meant was that God can save you and I, not by our efforts, not by our own good works, but only by God's work. Because with God, everything is possible. That's the good news. But the disciples still didn't get it. Peter then said to Jesus, We have left everything to follow you. What will we then get? What is in store for us? Because we have left everything, we follow you. You see what's wrong with Peter? Well, Peter is very much like us, right? We like to say, "I am entitled to something." We like to say, "Surely I deserve something." We like to say, "I worked hard for this. Surely I must get credit for this. Surely I must get a promotion, right? I must always be the first and beat everybody else to it. And if I get cheated And if I don't get what I deserve, I will kick and I will scream and I will make a big fuss out of it. But friends, Jesus' rule and his reign will not have those. He tells Peter, you will have your rewards. And he says, everyone who follows me will receive their rewards. But remember, it is not because one deserves them or one has rightfully earned them, but it is because God is generous. And in his rule and in his reign, it is not first come, first serve. On the contrary, it is first come, last serve. The first will be last, and the last will be first. See, my friends, Jesus is a game changer. His rule and his reign changes the game. It changes our attitude. No more, I ought to be first. No more, bleh, to the last. No more, I ought to be at the best. No more, I ought to be better than others. No more competing against one another. No more outposting one another on Facebook. Outposting one another with the best vacations, with the better picture, with the best schools I've been to. Why? Because Facebook is not face off. No, none of those anymore. And why so? Because when Jesus made us his children through his death and his resurrection, we are now part of his family. We are now part of his family. And that is all that matters. Let me ask this question to the parents. If you are parents of, say, two children, one 10 years old and another 5 years old, do you love the 10-year-old twice as much as you love the 5 years old? Because you have him by 5 years more. Or let me ask this question to a child. Let's say you are 7 years old and you have an older sibling, 14 years old. Do you love your parents only half as much as your older sibling, because you are 7 years younger anyway? And you probably say to me, without having to come up with solutions, you will say to me, that's absurd, right? That's laughable. We don't do that. We are family. But that's the point. Precisely. We are family. Because Jesus made us his children, we are family. No more complaining, but only gratefulness for being part of God's family. No more competing against one another, but yielding to one another because we are part of God's family. And because we are family, it no longer matters if you're first and I'm last. Because we are family, it no longer matters if you're last and I am first. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your great love and generosity in calling us to salvation through Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross paid for the penalty for our sins. And now that as we have become part of your family, teach us to be ever grateful of the salvation that you have freely given us. Teach us not to be complaining with the blessings that you have withheld from us, and not to compare our blessings with others, what others have received. For we are all in one family, and that is all that matters. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.